Blog Talk Radio.
You have tuned into Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. I am so excited that you have joined me on today. Come on in, grab your Bible, and come on in and just make yourself right at home. Today we have a glorious and a beautiful lesson on today. Our lesson will be talking about and dealing with the virtuous woman. Oh, a beautiful subject, and that I look so forward to talking about that on today. So grab your Bible, come on in and make yourself right at home, and you know where we're going to our scripture for the virtuous woman. Yes, it's going to be found over in Proverbs 31, verses number 10 through 28. And we'll also be looking at our focus point on today will be centered around Proverbs 31 and 10. So let's take a look at the scripture. It said, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seek wool, flax, and worketh willingly at with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She raises also while it's yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maiden. She considereth the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girds her loin with strength and strengtheneth her arm. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candles goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands unto the spindle, and her hands holds the distaff. She stretched out her hands to the poor, yea, she reached forth her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself covering of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates. When he sitteth among the elders of the land, she maketh fine linens and selleth it, and delivereth girdle unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in times to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children raise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Again, we want to look at for today, verse number 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. The worth of a virtuous woman to her husband and family and church is beyond material wealth. And we're going to take a look at that and look at the blessedness of womanhood. As we're going to look at various pieces, we're going to look at the virtuous woman as priceless. We're going to look at the virtuous woman is resourceful, and the virtuous woman is honorable, and the virtuous woman is rewarded. And so we're going to take a look at those various aspects of the virtuous woman. Let's take a look. The Application Bibles make this observation. The woman described in Proverbs 31 has an outstanding ability. In fact, she may not be one woman at all. She may be composite of a portrait of ideal womanhood. Anne Spangler, in her book, wrote, Woman of the Bible points out that in the traditional Jewish homes, husband and children recite Proverbs 31 at their yearly Sabbath table. Written on an escutcheon, each line of this proverb begins with a Hebrew letter in the alphabetical sequence, making it easy for the children to memorize. We know for certain one thing about the virtuous woman because the scriptures declare it and our experience observe it. She has incredible and incalculable worth. Now let's take a look, a closer look at this virtuous woman that is priceless. An ancient modern Eastern culture has an extremely low view of women. Women were seen as property, either of their fathers or of their husbands. They could not testify in the court, inherit property, or claim any rights to education. Greeks declared three reasons for gratitude. Number one, that they were not made a beast. Number two, that they were not made a woman. Number three, that they were not made a barbarian. Even though the people of Israel lived in a male-dominated world, they lived by a faith that gave equality to women in the eyes of God. The Bible always holds women in the highest regards. In the Old Testament Hebrew culture, Miriam served alongside her brother Moses in leading Israel. Deborah became a judge. Hilda was a prophetess. Through a careful study both of scriptures and of history, we can observe three interesting sets of data concerning women in the ancient Middle Eastern society. Number one, before the time of Assyrian and Babylonian exile, women in Israel enjoyed a status and freedom comparable to men. Women served as prophetess, judges, and queen. Women were never excluded from the worship of God, although they were never part of the priesthood. Women were honored as being models of wisdom. Women share honor in the 10th commandment. Women were protected by the law of God. Women were not considered property. Sex was viewed as a gift of God. Marriage was used as a symbol of relationship between God and his people. Number two, after the Assyrian and Babylonian exile, the view of women in Hebrew society grew increasingly worse. Women related to God only through men. Women were excluded and segregated both in worship and society. Women's vows to God was thought to be of less value than those of men. Women were not allowed to testify in court. Women were strictly limited in their appearance in public and were not allowed to speak publicly. Women were seldom allowed to teach or to be educated. Women took on a rank scarcely above that of a slave. Number three, in this Jewish and Roman world, Jesus' action towards women are deemed revolutionary. He never hesitated to engage even unclean women in public conversation. Jesus taught women. He also gave them equal ranks with men and daughters of Abraham. He openly ministered to them. He gave them high respect. Women were in the inner circle of friends. Women were the first witnesses of his resurrection. Jesus demonstrated views of women in the New Testament was dramatically different from the culture of his day and his surroundings. At a time when women were ignored, except when men had need for them. Jesus' treatment of women was viewed as radical. Jesus ministered to women and healed them. He healed Peter's mother-in-law, delivered the daughters of the Syrophoenician women from a demon, raised Jairus' daughters from the dead, healed the women with the issue of blood, raised the widow son at Nain, and taught Mary and Martha in their home. The Samaritan woman met him at Jacob's well, and he allowed women to worship by anointing his feet. Women also figured predominantly in Jesus' last hours as they did not abandon him at the cross. And you can find that over in Mark chapter 15, verses 40 through 47. Women were the first to witness the result of the resurrection and to proclaim it to the other disciples. And this occurred during a historical time when women's witness was not accepted even in the legal council. Clearly, however, the early church viewed and treated women differently, more honorably, as recorded in the book of Acts. The women joined with the disciple in prayer, and they received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. When the disciple gathered in the upper room to pray, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Acts 1:14. The people of Jerusalem gathered around as the follower of Jesus, both men and women, came out from the first Pentecostal prayer meeting, speaking with other tongues and preaching the gospel of Christ. Now, let's take a look at Acts 2 and 18. On my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And here it is right there in the Christian scriptures, Acts 2:18. It's speaking on his spirit, on his servant and on my handmaiden, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. In the New Testament era, Philip had four daughters who were prophetesses. Priscilla, who was a co-laborer with her husband as they preached and taught in the early church. Now, there it is for the co-pastors and things. The church met in home, identified by the names of the women, indicating their possible prominent roles. In Romans 16 and 1, it is interesting that Phoebe is described as a deaconess or a servant in many translations. The word in the original Greek, which means deacon, or minister or servant. The house of Mark's mother was the headquarters for the first church. Paul's first convert in Europe was a woman. Lydia was obviously a leader in the church at Philippi in the latter time. Priscilla taught Apollos along with her husband Aquila. Proverbs 31 gives us an overview of the attributes of the virtuous woman. These comprise a collective standard for women to aspire to, not the description of every Christian woman. Now, let's look here at the virtuous woman. Her price is above rubies, and let's take a look at this. According to the United States Census, women constitute over 50% of the world's population, but women do 3/4 of the world's work, receive 1/10 of the world's salary, and own 1/100 of a world's land. A woman's value is priceless. Moreover, her role and her contribution to the culture and well-being of our world is invaluable. As William Wallace once said, the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. It is impossible to put value on the worth of a woman, but as the scripture reveals, it definitely would be above all the values of rubies. A woman may care for her many important responsibilities, interests, and activities. However, none are more valuable or more important than the role she fulfilled in her home with her husband and family. Now let's take another look here at another area. She is trustworthy. If a woman desired to be a woman of excellence, she would decide that she must love the Lord with all more than anything. Her devotion to God will come before her family, her work, her hobby, and her activities. That, of course, is not to suggest that she should neglect her family and responsibilities. However, to adequately care for those, she first must be improper alignment with regards to her relationship with Jesus Christ. A godly woman is unselfish in her devotion to both God and to her family. Divorce and child abuse are an epidemic in the world because men and women have believed that the world revolves around themselves. However, the writer of Proverbs makes quite clear two principles that describe a successful woman. Number one, she puts others before herself. And she, number two, she put God before everything. The virtuous woman is faithful, she is loyal, and she is also trustworthy. Now let's take another look at another attribute about the virtuous woman. She inhibits femininity and purity. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Proverbs 31, verse 30 through 31. A woman's worth should not be measured by the way she looks. Our society is caught up in the physical appearance, especially for women. In the eyes of many people today, the way a woman looks determines her worth. The message of popular culture is that people must be beautiful and successful and that they must put themselves first. The number one problem most teenage girls face is a negative self-perception of their appearance. Society judges a woman by the way she appears, but God looks deep into the heart of every individual. A woman's internal purity is what makes her beautiful to God. The writer of Proverbs indicates that a woman's worth is determined by who she is on the inside and not the outside. Verse 30 reveals that a woman who fears the Lord will be praised or celebrated. Her real radiance emanates from her beauty of holiness within, which reflects in her outward appearance as well. There is an aura or glow about a godly woman who has lingered in the presence of the Lord. The beauty of the Lord radiates from her life. In the Old Testament temple, the priest went into the holy place to burn incense to the Lord. When he departed the tabernacle, the fragrance lingered on his garment. Anyone who is around him knows that he has been in the holy place with the Lord. So it is with one who has lingered in the presence of the Lord. Now, let's take a look here at another piece about the virtuous woman. She is very resourceful. She cares about her family. She gives to the poor and the needy. And she demonstrates artistic abilities. And she promotes her husband's causes. And let's take a look at each one of those attributes or those distinctions. The virtuous woman is supportive of her husband and take care of her family and home. Proverbs 31, 15, and 21. The woman of Proverbs 31 was a manager of the affairs of her home. See Proverbs 31 and 27. Men are to be the spiritual leaders, but the scripture seems to indicate that the women are to manage the daily operation of a household. The Apostle Paul also wrote to Titus, indicating a woman should be busy handling the affairs of her home. See Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. This is not to imply that since the woman is a good manager at the house or home, that the husband and the children are free to relinquish their duties at home. To the contrary, every member of the family has responsibility at home and should diligently care for those duties. Now, let's take another look at another point. She gives to the needy and poor. The woman of Proverbs 31 appeared to be self-sufficient, but she also sees the needs of others. Proverbs 31, 20 states, she stretches out her hands to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She has a generous heart, and she is compassionate towards the need of others. The Shunammite woman. She loved God, and it was shown by her offering hospitality to Elisha, the prophet of God, without attempting or for prompting for selfish reason. She and her husband built a room for Elisha. Every time he passed by, he had a place to. In our talk on the reward. Now let's look at another piece here, the displays artistic ability. Let's take a look at this. Proverbs 31, verses 13 through 24, describe the woman who has developed her skill at craft and who has uses her skill to help her family. Not everyone is born with artistic ability, but it's important to recognize and know to use whatever skills that God has given unto us as women, both for the Lord and for our family. So whatever skill or giftedness that God has blessed you with, use that to bless your family and bless the Lord. Now, let's look at another point about this virtuous woman. She promotes her husband's causes. The writer of Proverbs recognized the effect that a contentious wife have upon her husband when he wrote, "It's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house." Proverbs 21 and 9. The New International Version translates the verse, "Better to live on the corner of the roof than to share a house with a quarrelsome wife." One noble quality we see displayed in the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31 is that she supports her husband. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil, Proverbs 31 and 11. This woman is a tremendous asset to her husband. He has confidence in her because of her support. Now, the Old Testament matriarch, Sarah, she exhibited the same attitude of love and respect towards her husband. The Apostle Paul observed, "Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement," 1 Peter 3 and 6. Now, Ephesians 5 and 33 state, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." Minute, the psychological truth of this verse. Men need and crave respect for their marital relationship, and women need and crave love and emotional security. That reciprocal relationship is vital to every godly marriage. Now, Henry Willard Harley has written a book on marital marriage entitled His Needs and Her Needs. He listed the top needs of both men and women in the marriage. According to Harley, a man to be happy in marriage, one of his top five needs is to receive admiration from his wife. He needs her to admire him and support who he is and what he does. Further, there is nothing more devastating to a man than a wife who ridicules him or makes light of his contribution and ability. Husband needs the praise of their wives. Her children raise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Proverbs 31:28. He praises her because she praised him. A wife who can admire and support and praise her husband is an asset to him. It's a blessing. And he will reciprocate it in the same treatment to her. A wife who failed to recognize her husband's positive quality, or who failed to express her admiration to him, and who instead constantly nags and quarrel with him, is a burden to him and instead of a help. Typically, such a wife will receive no more from her husband than what he feels obligated to provide. From the beginning of creation, however, God planned for a woman to be a help for her husband, or help him, Genesis 2:18. Proverbs 12:4 say, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh a shame is rottenness in his bone. A virtuous woman is a crown, blessing, and a support to her husband. Now let's take another look at the virtuous woman, another aspect. The virtuous woman is honorable. And let's take a look at those particular attributes in regards about the virtuous woman. The word virtuous in the Old Testament translates, it also it means probably a force, whether of a man, a means of other resources, an army, a wealth, a virtue, a valor, a strength. The King James Version translated the word to as able, activity, army band of men or soldier, company, great, force, of good, host and might, power and riches, strength, strong and substance, and valor or virtuous. Now let's take a look here. The displays honesty and integrity. Virtue of the virtuous woman. She shuns idleness. The virtuous woman described in Proverbs 31 also is self-sufficient. This is not to say that she rejects the advice of or assistance of others, but that she is strong and capable. She recognizes what she needs to do and to the best of her ability, does it. And you can see it over in Proverbs 31, 16 through 19. The virtuous woman is competent and industrious. She is not only a homemaker, but she's also a businesswoman and has responsibilities outside the house. The Proverbs 31 paints a picture of her earning money and trading goods. In our fast-paced culture today, a woman may choose to work outside the home, but it is commendable for a woman with young children to choose to stay at home. Sometimes her working outside the home may not be by a choice, but by necessity to help for the basic needs of the family. However, often in today's society, materialistic culture, some women choose to work to provide the means to acquire extra and luxuries of life that are non-essential. While those things may be nice and enjoyable, what price tag could be possibly placed on the spiritual and physical well-being of our children? They definitely benefit incredibly by her presence in the home while they are young. And I just want to speak to the mothers that are there, that are at home, that are caring for your children, and that are caring for your family. I commend you. You are of great value and a great worth by making such a great sacrifice to be there for the physical needs of your children, as well as for the emotional and the psychological, as well as most and over and above all, the spiritual need of your children, that you can build them, you can nurture them, and think that they can become great, healthy children and children of God. The woman usually has the freedom to choose whether or not she will work outside the home. However, she should know her limits and not neglect her role as a mother and a wife. In the best case scenario, it is challenging and difficult for a woman to balance a career with her responsibility at home. She should be careful that keeps her life in balance and harmony with the Lord and with her family needs. Let's look at another aspect of the virtuous woman is rewarded. And a lot of times, sometimes we don't recognize or really embrace the reward or can even see the reward while we're engaged in working in the home, washing the dishes, caring for our family, or those mothers or women that have to go outside of the home, those single mothers or single parents that have to work outside the home and care for the home as well, and things. Sometimes you can't see the reward. But I come to encourage and admonish your heart today. There is a reward for your life, and there will be a blessing for you and things. So be encouraged and take heart that God will bless you. Let's look here. At the reward, her children is going to praise her. Her husband will praise her. Her fear of the Lord will cause all others to praise her. Her relationship with her husband represents the relationship between Christ and the church. And so it is a great reward. And let's take a look at that. Not only does the virtuous woman enjoy the blessing of God, but she also is blessed by the happiness and success of her family and the feeling of the accomplishment in the things that she does. Now let's take a look how her children will praise her. And the single mother, you are encompassed in this too as well. And even the single women and things, women of excellence and striving for excellence. Mothers are generous and nurturing and caring. Family members benefit from mother's care and they praise her for her selfless and giving spirit. This is one of the reasons why it is so important for her to be present at home, especially while the children are young. They, as they might, it is difficult for father to provide the measure of nurturing that mothers give naturally. Actually, God intentionally designed the home to function with both a mother and a father raising their children. It is hard for a single parent to raise his or her children alone. Single parents need love. They need support and encouragement, which in a two-parent home, they are able to receive naturally. When there is not another parent present, for whatever the reason may be, the single parent needs to draw love and support and encouragement from other sources. And of course, the Lord always will be present to provide spiritual nurturing for the single parent as well. And I think that this is a very good point for us to really to look at, even in our churches as well, that not only does the single parent, they will get the spiritual nurturing from the Lord and from their church, but another dynamic or another realm or dimension that the single parent need is three things. They need love, they need support, and they need encouragement to come from the church, come from their friends. They need your support. They need your encouragement, and they need also your love, just the love on them. Research shows that children of working parents do not do well as children who mothers stay home with them, particularly in their younger years. Where mothers work less than 20 hours per week, there was no noticeable harm to the children. But beyond that, there was a significant difference. The overwhelming majority of mothers of young children would rather be at home with their children than working. Because of this, there is a present trend of women in the workforce making sacrifice in order to return home so that they may be with their children. It is in the home where children learn to live with others in important ways. They learn to forgive others. They learn that love is more than a feeling. It is a deep and abiding commitment that overcomes feeling. Home is where true ministry begins. The virtuous woman ministered to her children and trained them in the principles of Christian faith, both by word and by example. God's greatest calling, both to men and to women, is a call for us to minister to those who are living in our homes. A woman makes her place and excellent in many settings and opportunity, but the place of her greatest influence and honor is in her home. Isn't that so profound? And we need to continue to teach and hold with high esteem that role of that mother or that role of that woman. It is key and vital as she's influencing her home, as she is being that nurturer, giver there in that home. Her husband praises her. Paul wrote, "So ought men to love their wives," hear me, brothers, "as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself." Ephesians 5:28. The whole point of the story of creation in Genesis 2 was that man by himself was inadequate. It was not that he needed someone to do his work and meet his needs, but that he needed a full person, wife or for life. One without whom life would not be nearly so rich and meaningful. When men treat their wives not as partners within the relationship, but as someone only to care for their needs, they miss the valuable purpose of God for marriage. God, here it is, intended for it to be a powerful partnership, being in relationship and partnership with the husband and the wives, the man and the woman. Further, women are unable to live up to their full value if they are treated as servants instead of partners within the relationship, in the marital relationship, teaching her or treating her with much respect. honoring her contribution, honoring her words that she wants to give, the wisdom that she shares. We have, especially African American culture, we have the matriarch and the patriarch. But still, when we look at both of those roles and bring them together, women are strong, men are strong, but bring both of those strengths together and merging together and pouring out and moving forward, being great instruments in the hand of God. Yes, all cultures and things. We can have these matriarchs and patriarchs coming together side by side, respecting each other's roles. That's what God desired it to be, as we come together and working together hand in hand, not the man competing against the woman and the woman competing against the man, but God wanted us to come together and work together in the spirit of unity. Husband loving their wives, wives reverencing them and loving their husband, and having a equal respect and honor and loyalty towards one another, and men being faithful like God. You must be faithful to your wife, trustworthy to your wife, honest, open, and in dialogue with your wife to have a strong relationship. And things, if you're not communicating, if you're not sharing and things, then you're opening doors for the adversary to walk in. And so I just want you to know that in order to have a functionable and a healthy relationship, you must be engaged in communication, must respect each other's roles and things, and recognizing she's a matriarch and you the patriarch. And so working together, bringing those great strengths together and for the glory of God, respecting and honoring one another. Further, women are unable to live up to their full value if they are treated as a servant instead of a partner in the relationship. Now let's take another look. Her fear of the Lord causes all to praise her. Finally, a virtuous woman is devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ. Of all that the virtuous woman does, she feared God first and foremost, and the testimony of her life is noticed by all around her, those around her. Consequently, she received her praise. Her relationship with her husband represents a relationship between Christ and the church, and we'll find that over in Ephesians 5:30-32. For we are members of the body of his flesh and of his bone. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. The virtuous woman is an illustration of what the true church should be in many ways. She is pure, she is holy, and she is unselfish. She is concerned about her husband, and believers seek to reverence and praise Jesus Christ. She nurtures and protects her children as Christian cares for the new believers in the church. She is industrious and diligent, as should be all true believers. The virtuous woman knows that her rewards come all along the way, as well as at the end of her labor. Christians understand that they receive some of their rewards as the ministers of Christ, but that their greatest rewards and blessings come at the end of this life. And we must recognize that the reward will come. You will see the fruit of your labor, and your labor is not in vain. The worth of all women is the postmodern society is tremendous. But the value of the virtuous woman to her husband and family and church is immeasurable. Her godly womanhood is her primary ministry, from which all other opportunity for ministry flows. The attributes of a virtuous woman described in Proverbs 31 are ideal for all women should strive. However, these invaluable elements come only when diligent dedication and a deep, long-lasting love of family and of God. Through love, every believing woman can be a virtuous woman. And I think that this is so profound because a godly womanhood is her primary ministry. And so being that godly woman is a ministry all by itself, nurturing and cultivating your character, your integrity as that woman. I think that that is just so profound in things, being a woman of substance and a woman of goodness. And I think that those virtues, we must begin to think about ministry in a new type of way, a ministry of womanhood and things, cultivating those gifts within. The inner beauty of a woman that far exudes the outer beauty because they're giving time and they're nurturing and they're flowing in that place and that aspect of a place of nurturing themselves as never before. And so I come and I invite you, woman of God, I invite you, my sister, and even the men who are listening to this particular lesson on today, cultivate that woman that God has blessed you with. Praise her, admonish her. Not only cultivate her, but also cultivate, woman of God, the character. And look, take a moment, look deeply down within yourself and begin to cultivate the woman that God has created you to be and things. Begin to look deep down within your own heart and things and deal with the issues of life and bring closure to them and watch God tremendously and bountifully bless and overtake you in your life and things. When we go back and give this same mantle to the teenage women, to the teenage young ladies, and to the young adult women, teaching and training them to cultivate womanhood, to embrace womanhood, and to walk in and to be the phenomenal woman, and teaching them how to walk in your integrity and walk as a woman of a character and a woman of high esteem and things, not one of tearing down her home, but a wise woman build up her home. We need to go back and teach the young woman how to build up her home and things, how to stand against the storms of life, how to stand and weather the forces that come against the godly home and the godly woman and things, but to be able to be the portrait of godliness in your home, in your community, in your church, in your neighborhood, and watch God exude and bless you, because we don't see those values being esteemed. What we see being esteemed is the outward appearance and things and the inward characteristics and characters, attitude, need to be cultivated and going on to maturity and not being selfish and childish and greedy, but being gracious women of God, women of high esteem, holding their hearts and mind with dignity and knowing how to be chaste women of God. And that's not to say not being in leadership, but taking all of that characteristics and moving forward into ministry and things. Who can deny a virtuous woman? Her gift will make room for itself. When she opened her mouth, what will exude out of her mouth? But wisdom and honor and integrity. Who can deny that? Who can fight against God when God is exuding out of your mouth? And so I come today to admonish you and encourage you to cultivate that place of the godly woman and things, and minister to that godly woman within side of you. And if you have a godly woman in your life, man of God, cultivate that, esteem that, because now the world is putting high esteem on how you look on the outside and not on the characteristic of the faithful woman that is not out running the street, on the faithful woman who fears her God, on the faithful woman who esteems her home, on the faithful and virtuous woman who esteems and honor her God. Single, but honor her womanhood. Single, but love God. Single, walking in integrity and honesty and chasteness and sobriety and being single and still yet worshiping and being in the house of God, leading in the corporate realm and still being a gracious and a beautiful woman inside the marketplace, in the laundry room, and still being a gracious woman of God. Not saying that we put women in that place, but guess what? We got to, clothes have to be clean and things. We have to clean, take care of those things as well. But being a gracious woman wherever you are, whether you in the corporate realm, whether you own your business, whether you are a writer, whether you're a psalmist, or whether you're a pastor, you can still maintain the womanhood, even in ministry, even being a pastor, being that gracious pastor, but still yet being a Deborah and things, slewing the adversary, but graciously so slewing them. Someone was talking, I was sharing with someone, they were saying, well, pastor, sometimes we don't even know that we've been cut until after we left the presence, your presence, that you have graciously cut off that unfruitful attribute that's in our life, and not until after we left your presence, because you so sweetly minister. And that's the way we need to be, so sweetly, as a sweet, wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove, but still yet executing the will of God. Oh, womanhood is such a beautiful and a glorious thing, child of God. Yes, you could be a pastor. Yes, you can be that evangelist, national evangelist, intercessor, prayer warrior, all of those things, educator, all of those things, doctor, all of those things, but you can still maintain the ministry of womanhood. Oh, come on, woman of God. It's a beautiful place, and we must esteem it, and we must embrace it, and we must hold fast to it, because it's something that God has entrusted us with. Look how Jesus ministered to the women. Look how Jesus came and things. He never hesitated to engage even with the unclean women in public conversation. He didn't shun teaching women. He gave them equal ranks with men as daughters of Abraham. He openly ministered to them. He gave them high respect. Women were in his inner circles of friends. Women were the first ones to witness his resurrection. And guess what? They was the first preacher and the first apostle. If you really want to get down to the technicality of the whole matter, they were the first apostle. Amen. It's on record. It's in our Bible. They were the first one to preach the message of the good news. Oh, come on, child of God. Go with me there. It is true. And they know their place. They're clear about their love for their God. And I come to admonish your heart today. Don't you ever give up. Your value is priceless. And your role and contribution and well-being in our world is invaluable. And so you are an invaluable, priceless woman. You hold your head up. You cultivate your life. You be gracious to yourself and be kind to yourself. The same grace and the same love that you show to others is now time to take some time and show it to yourself and enjoy your womanhood, because you are a priceless woman. Enjoy the ministry of womanhood. And I pray that this here lesson has blessed you and things for the single woman, have those that have chosen to remain single, to the divorced woman, those that have been widowed, those that have a family and caring for your husband and your family, those that are single parent that are doing a dual role, dualistic role, dualism and things. I encourage you today, as you embrace womanhood and the ministry of womanhood, embrace that. Love yourself. Look yourself in the face in the mirror again and tell yourself how beautiful and how glorious that God has made you, because God allowed us to know that we are invaluable and priceless. And so you embrace who you are, whatever your condition, whatever your season, let God bless you in a mighty and a special way as you walk in womanhood, and you be the salt of this earth, and allow that salt to be taken throughout the entire world. Wherever you go, season somebody. Wherever you go, let them brush up to a sweet-smelling savior, a fragrance that exudes out of your life. And they say, oh, my God, that was just the sweetest woman that I was in her presence. I pray one day that I could be like that. And God can use you in a profound way of ministry. And, yes, you can be a profound woman of God, preaching the word of God, and still yet embracing your womanhood. You can be the prophetess and still yet embrace. You can be the Lydias and things, the business women and things, and still yet embracing the glorious fragrance and the beautiful characteristics of a beautiful, godly woman. So in my closing, virtuous woman, and men who have those virtuous women or looking for a virtuous woman, I encourage you, men of God, look for those that are single. Look for a woman that is concerned about her character and her integrity and her honesty and things, that it does matter and that she's generous and not selfish and greedy, but loving and giving and caring. And you found yourself, most of all, that one who have the highest priority of fearing God, loving God, worshiping God, then you have a ruby. Hold fast to it and don't let it go, because she will be steadfast. She will be faithful. She will be unmoving, and she will do her best to bless her home, her God, her home, her family, and herself, because she's worthy of it all. So in my closing, I pray that you have been blessed on today, that this word for about the virtuous woman, but most of all, the ministry of womanhood. I believe that that's something that needs to be redeemed and brought back to the forefront. The godly woman being blessed as she moved throughout this land. May the Lord God bless you is my prayer. And remember, if you don't have it, God got it. All you have to do is just ask, and you're one question away from your miracle. The Bible said, watch, knock. It says, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you. I pray that you have been encouraged about womanhood, and that you will go forth and teach your children and teach your daughter to embrace her womanhood, as well as being in the corporate realm or wherever God is calling, getting her education. But let her never, ever forget her womanhood of who she is as a woman. May the Lord God bless you. and keep you. If you ever need me to come and speak or talk with your women or your ministry, feel free to give us a call. You can go to our website at Helen Orme, O-R-M-E, at MSN.com. And I know that God will continually and graciously bless you. Again, I want you to encourage your heart. Embrace your womanhood. It's a ministry all by itself as you bring nurturing and strength back to you and things as you give it out to someone else. Be that woman of integrity and that woman of honesty and a woman of character and a woman of substance and a woman of spiritual integrity as well. May God continue to bless you and strengthen you is my prayer. May God bless you. Bye-bye.